Well, it's good to be with you. May I add my welcome to Paul's and glad that you're with us if you're visiting us this morning. I'm Lawrence. I'm one of the staff here. Please do stay behind for tea and coffee afterwards if you can. But we can go through life, can't we, seeking approval. We seek the approval of our parents when we're young, maybe with our first girlfriend or boyfriend as we get a bit older, then our boss or our manager, our colleagues and our friends. We seek the approval of lots of different people. And as we get a bit older, we start seeking the approval of our children even, and our grandchildren, and ask them how we're getting on. We seek the approval of many. I wonder if you've noticed those approval marks you sometimes get on those white vans that we see throughout Plymouth these days. You know, approved by the building standards authority, you know, kite marks that you get on the sides of those vans or on lorries and so on. Approved by different bodies. You get approvals in adverts and various things, approved by different ombudsmen. There are various ways in which we seek approval in the world. But I wonder, do we seek the approval of God? What would it be like if on your car you had a stamp, had a sticker saying, Lawrence Brasky, approved by God? Now imagine that. If you had over your home, Pat Newman, approved by God. If you had over St. Andrew's Church, a big banner saying, St. Andrew's Church, approved by God. Can we know that? In the dark and mess of life, it feels like, well, how do I know that God approves of our lives? How do I know that God's with us, with me, in the mess of things? What's it like to have God's approval? And we saw last week that Timothy is in a bit of a bind. His mentor, his friend, the person that he's been seeking approval from all his life, Paul, is now in a dark and dank prison. He's facing a situation where the church that he's leading is divided and torn, and he's not sure where he stands. And so he's seeking approval. But Paul says, seek the approval of God. Seek God's approval. You're in the thick of it, Timothy. Seek God's approval. And the reasons why Paul says these things, the reasons why Timothy can have faith in God, encourage us this morning. We're in different places. We're not a young, constitutionally timid male pastor, not most of us anyway. And we're not facing the same situations that Timothy did. And yet the arguments and foundations that Paul gives to Timothy can encourage us in our lives this morning, that we can press on confidently and courageously in our Christian walk. So if you're not young and you're not male and you're not timid and you're not a pastor, don't think that Timothy, the letter to Timothy, doesn't have anything to say to you. If you long for God's gospel approval, if you long to be a gospel friend in need, if you long to be part of the gospel church, if you long to be knowledgeable and stable in the faith, if you long to be stable in prayer, then 2 Timothy is for you. Do you see what Paul says in verse 15? He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Do your best to present yourself to God. And then in verse 20, we have the picture of a large country house, perhaps, with lots of different vessels, gold and silver, and then some wood and clay. And the gold and silver are used for special purposes. And so Paul says to Timothy, be like that, be an instrument for special purposes in 21. Made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. What a wonderful banner to have over our lives, isn't it? Prepared to do any good work. So how do we know God's approval? What are some of the things that we can learn from Timothy? Well, the first thing is to have God's roadmap open before us. Do you see in 15, Timothy is encouraged to correctly handle the word of truth. Correctly handle the word of truth. And we're not all of us in positions where we're openly talking about the Bible, the word of truth with others, but we are encouraged to have that word of truth open. Timothy is told to remind all godly people of these things. It's the kind of, it's the roadmap, it's the way of navigating this dark world, is having the Bible open and meeting Jesus in his word. Do your best to correctly handle the word of truth. Handle in these words is an engineering term. It was used for those who were going to cut through mountains, for those who were going to make straight roads. Do you remember those big Roman roads that went throughout Europe and the Middle East? This is the same word that an architect would use, an engineer would use, to cut straight through the mountains, through the swamps. And so the idea is that Timothy is to open up the Word of God in a way that cuts through the mess and tangle of life. He's supposed to lead the way so that others can follow. And we're encouraged to follow in those same footsteps. This is the Word of truth, Paul says. It is it's somewhere where we can place our trust. There are so many words out there. There are so many other things that we get assailed with at this time of year. And Paul says, this is a word of truth. You can trust it. Do you remember, as we've been looking through what Paul says about this gospel, in chapter 1, verse 1, he says, it's the promise of life in Christ Jesus. This word of truth is a promise of life. What a thing to hold on to through the mess of this life. This promise of life in Christ Jesus, in 1, verse 10, it is the revelation of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And what has Jesus Christ done? He's destroyed death. He's brought life. He's brought immortality through the light of the gospel. And so in chapter 2, verse 8, Paul reminds us, this word is to remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. And so if we are to know the approval of God, we are to have God's roadmap, God's truth, open before us. And we're to work hard at making that the case. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes that does feel like hard work, having the gospel open and working through the Bible day by day, week by week. But God does promise that if we do so, we will be approved workmen. We'll be approved in his world. I remember my woodwork teacher at school was a fine man, and he put up with people like me who didn't do much woodwork in his classes. And so we used to have to make a bird table in one of our years. And every year, at the end of the year, there would be kind of semi-constructed bird tables that weren't in much shape, weren't fit for many birds to land on. And this woodwork teacher, if you'd made an effort during the year, he would come along at the end of that time and he would kind of put together the table. He'd make sure that it was strong enough to survive being outside and for birds to land on. And so if you'd shown a bit willing, he would make sure that you went home at the end of the year with a serviceable bird table. And I had a friend who was one of four brothers, and so every year his parents would come back with a fully constructed bird table because of what the woodwork teacher had done. But it's, you know, God's a bit like that in a sense. He's saying, it's not up to you to prove yourself to me. I love you for who you are, and I've given myself to you. But I do want you to show willing. I do want you to have the word of God open before you. I do want you to be engaging with me, having that conversation with me through my words, day by day. And as you go through life, so then you'll have that approval, that seal. Do you see what happens, what God says through Paul? Down in verse 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knows those who are his. What an amazing testimony that is. If I go into school at the end of the day and there are loads of children in the playground, I know my children. I know what they look like. I know the slope of their shoulders. I know their kind of walk. I know their personalities. I know their faces. And it's that same promise. God knows those who are his. How much more than a father like me. He knows each one of us. And so the promise is, if we have the Word of God open, He will see us through. He will see us through this life. Keep reminding God's people of these things. And the danger is that there are lots of quarrels and arguments about this, aren't there? Again and again in these verses, Timothy is warned to avoid godless chatter, avoid endless arguments that don't show reverence to God. And the idea is that continual avoidance, keep on avoiding these things. They lead to what? They lead to gangrene, Paul says. They lead to chaos and destruction, people's lives being ruined. Hold firm to the word of truth. Don't get sidetracked into quarrels and arguments about lesser things. The more you focus on the non-essentials, the less godly you become, the less healthy a Christian you become. You might want to look at it this way, that the human brain apparently needs 40 different nutrients to be healthy and well. And if you're missing one of those nutrients, then the brain begins to function less well. And they've done studies in prisons about the way that people eat. And if prisoners are given a better diet, then generally they become less violent and more peaceful in the prisons that they're in. You might find the same with your children. But there's a sense of, that brains need healthy nutrients to survive. And in the same way, Paul's saying, hold out the word of truth, Timothy. This is what you need to give people. This is what people need to have so that they function well, so that their spiritual life is healthy, so that they're not violent with one another and that they may know God. Don't quarrel. Don't be sidetracked by these other words. And so do you see how often the words quarreling and godless chatter, foolish and stupid arguments over words are used in these verses? And so I guess the challenge is for us, how often do we have the Bible open before us? How often do we spend time in God's word? Or is it more in the other things of even Christian things, things that can sidetrack us? Do you see Hymenaeus and Philetus? They're the ones who say that the resurrection has always already happened. They're using Christian language. They're talking in Christian terms. Perhaps they were leaders of the church at one point, and yet they've gone astray. And Paul warns us, hold open the word of truth. Don't get sidetracked by those who are proclaiming other things. I was talking to the leader of a former leader of Peveril Methodist Church a few weeks ago, and he was just so disappointed in seeing what had happened to that church after he had left a couple of a decade or two ago. And the church had failed to hold on to the word of truth, and over time people had left and the church had split, and in the end they had to sell their church to another church. It is possible for churches to be ruined for not holding on to the word of truth. It's possible for Christian lives to be ruined. So there's holding out that word of truth. And the second thing that Paul points out more briefly is a character of usefulness. A character of usefulness. Do you see what he says to Timothy about those gold and silver implements? He goes on to point out the kind of character that is approved by God. Look down in verse 22. It's a mature character, someone who flees the desires of youth and instead pursues righteousness and faith and love. It's one who commits themselves to purity. Again, that sense of fleeing wickedness. It's one that isn't foolish and stupid, but is able to discern where wisdom lies. And the Lord's servant is gentle and forgiving, doesn't quarrel, is kind to people, able to teach, and does so gently. And then in verse 25, he forgives in the hope that God will grant them repentance. That idea of optimism and hope in the Lord. And then down in verse 26, he's realistic about the world, that people do need to come to their senses and escape from the trap of judgment. It's a wonderful picture of the character of a person, of a church. And perhaps most of us don't live up very well to those ideals. but it is something that we have as our character, that if we have a useful character before God. So he promises to make us more and more like this. The word of God engages in our lives. So I wonder how useful are you to God? How useful am I to God day by day? If I took an audit of my week, how much of this character would I see in the way that I work with people? It's not always the visible things that we see, but times at home with our families or those close to us. Am I like this in public and in private? Is this the character that we have? And the question gets sharper in a sense in that God longs to use us in this way. As he's looking down at Plymouth, as he looks at our homes and our families, he's longing for useful people, useful and helpful tools, instruments that he can use to bring about that word of life for others. Does he see you and I in that way? Yesterday, after a bit of procrastinating, I put a door back on a cupboard in the kitchen. And I knew where to go for my tools, I knew which tools I needed, and so the job went smoothly and well. In the same way, God's looking for people that he can use, people who are useful to him. Do you see what he says again at the end of verse 21? Made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. So I want to encourage you that this is, for Timothy, was a challenge and an encouragement. That as he holds the word of God open, so God promises that he will use him, make him useful in his ministry. Same for us. So we hold the word of God open to become useful characters. So God promises to use us in the ministry that he has in the world. So what does that mean for us today? Well, there's a couple of things that you might want to take hold of. At the end of the service, there's some Advent books that you might like to buy. I think they'll be available. If not, they'll be available this evening and next week. They're from Tim Chester, so following on from the same series as last year. The One True Story. There's amazing books that look through the Old Testament about ways in which Jesus fulfills the promises and the types and the ideas and the hopes of the Old Testament. They're wonderful, just one or two pages to read day by day. Why not? Look for one, buy one, arrange to meet with a friend to read it. Have the Bible, have the word of truth open with somebody this Advent time. And why not be praying along these lines for St. Andrew's and for the Church of England? We need leaders like this, people who are able to discern the truth during these dark times, who are able to lead the church in the ways that it should go. Praying for more people like Timothy and Paul. Shall we pray now?